have a good time. Put a smile on your face, yeah. KBKM and Elation Radio. Even brighten your day and help you through the night. Bring you good music. KBKM and Elation Radio. And here's your host.
Welcome to Making Marriage Meaningful. This is your host, Apostle Irvin Whitlow.
Well, hey, God bless you. God bless you and God bless you. Welcome tonight to Making Marriage Meaningful. I'm so happy to join you tonight. Last week we were in Indianapolis, Indiana. So we invite you to call your neighbor, call your friend, call your loved one, the one you are in love with, And I want you to join us tonight on Making Marriage Meaningful. Well, we're going somewhere tonight. We're going to have a very good discussion. I really believe it's going to bless you and it's going to help you along the way. So I need you to come in. Amen. Some of you might need to call in because this is going to be a good conversation. And my objective is to engage conversation for the married folk. Now, let me say this, and just if you're not married, this is still going to be for you because you're probably thinking about getting married. You might be engaged to be married. You might have been divorced, and you might be on the verge of considering remarriage. We want to talk to you, but let me make this disclaimer. I personally, as Apostle Urban A. Whitlow Jr., I do not claim to be a relationship expert, but I have been through some experiences, some marriages and some relationships, and I've learned some things that I believe that if you take some of the things that I share with you, you can avoid some of the troubles and some of the pitfalls and some of the disasters and the heartbreaks that I encountered. That is my hope and my prayer. Secondly, I want to make sure you understand this, that this conversation that I like to share with you, it is a real conversation, meaning we deal with real issues. Not only that, this conversation is raw. I'm not going to sugarcoat. I'm not going to be pretty. No, I'm going to tell you the butt-naked truth because that's what people need to hear in today's time. Most of all, this conversation is relevant to whatever you may be facing and dealing with, despite what our discussion may be. You're going to find something that's going to become a nugget, that's going to become useful and helpful and beneficial to you in this stage of your life and your marriage. That's what this is all about. That's what this is for. Now, let me finally make this clear. I don't do this by myself. I could do it by myself, but it's just better to have people to conversate with and to, you know, share their life and share transparencies and different things that they have encountered. Some are married. Some have been married and are no longer married. Some are widowed, you know. But we share based upon what we have been through. More so, we share based upon the Word of God, and we relate to things that are actually happening in today's time. Okay, so let me see who's here with me from my panel on tonight. I believe that I have the one, the only Bishop Elect. Are you with us, sir? Bishop Elect. Okay, I heard from him that I know he's getting ready for a big service tomorrow in the building for the first time, and I'm hoping that he's not muted. Amen. Bishop-elect Richard, are you with us? Well, then maybe he's running late trying to get things ready for tomorrow. Let me see if this other great man of God is here with us, who we were in Indianapolis with last week. Well, let's say next week. Oh, geez. Yeah, I'm talking about the one who preached himself silly on this past Sunday. I'm talking about Chief Apostle Vincent L. Smith. Are you with us, sir? I know that this couple is here because when I'm not here, they're looking for me. I'm talking about Brother Otis and Lady Gabriel. Are y'all here with us tonight?
Yes, we are. Good evening.
Good evening.
Your voice, and I pray that all is well with you. Of course, last week we didn't join in because we were at convocation, and now that I think about it, we had some conversations while we were there that would have been good had we been on. Let me see if tonight this producer is on. I'm talking about the lovely, wonderful Dr. Kimmy Robinson. Are you with us tonight?
Kimmy Kim is in the building.
It was so good to see you last weekend, and thank you so much for joining in with us there in the convocation, and so glad to have you here tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to know, is there any other callers on? I may not know who you are, but if you would identify yourself, it would surely help. Any other callers tonight? All right. Okay, so this is what we're going to do. We're going to pray, and then we're going to get started with this discussion, and then we're going to go from there. Dr. Timmy, would you be so kind as to lead us in a word of prayer tonight?
Sure, I'd be honored. Thank you so much for having me. And let's go to the Father in prayer. Father God, thank you once again for this wonderful podcast, Father. We thank you for Apostle Irvin Whitlow's vision, spreading the good news about marriage and how to make it more meaningful. Let this discussion to be benefit to those who are in the process of getting married or think about being married or married. And we thank you for the knowledge of marriage. It is your union that you prepare for us. And so, Father God, let the discussion be meaty for those, and also decrease us and put more of your wisdom and more of your ways in us. And we will forever to give you praise and honor because you're so worthy to be praised. And I make this prayer in your son Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so kindly. I want to read our scripture that we've been dealing with. Genesis 3rd chapter, verses 1 through 13. I'm reading out of the Message Bible. It says, the serpent was clever, more clever than any wild animal God had made. He spoke to the woman. Do I understand that God told you not to eat from any tree in the garden? The woman said to the serpent, not at all. We can eat from the trees in the garden. It's only about the tree in the middle of the garden that God said, do not eat from it. Don't even touch it or you'll die. The serpent told the woman, you won't die. God knows that the moment you eat from that tree, you'll see what's really going on. You'll be just like God, knowing everything, ranging from all the way from good to evil. When the woman saw that the tree looked like good eating and realized what she would get out of it, she didn't know everything. She took and ate the fruit, then gave some to her husband, and he ate. Immediately, the two of them did see what's really going on, saw themselves naked. They sewed fig leaves together as makeshift clothes for themselves. When they heard the sound of God strolling in the garden in the evening breeze, the man and his wife hid in the trees of the garden and hid from God. God called to the man, where are you? He said, I heard you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid. God said, who told you you were naked? Did you eat from that tree I told you not to eat from? The man said, the woman you gave me as a companion, she gave me fruit from the tree, and yes, I ate it. God said to the woman, what is this that you've done? The serpent seduced me, he said, and I ate. The word of God is forever blessed to those who read it, hear it, and practice it in Jesus' name. All right, we've been talking about conquering failure in marriage. And what we were looking at is why a lot of times things fail, why marriages fail. A lot of times it's because people, they do things that they need not do. They involve themselves in things they should not involve themselves in. Most times, though, that the reason that people fail in marriage is because they do not use the right methods that God has, if you will, presented for them to use. And so, therefore, they do things they ought not do. And so when we were here about 2 weeks ago and we begin talking about conquering failure in marriage, we begin talking about outside influences. And dealing with outside influences, we learn about developing new relationships when you get married, how important it is to be very cautious about developing new relationships. We've made it clear that if you're married, you need to be very mindful of not having single friends because your single friends will get you out of the vein of doing that which married folks should be doing. So you should seek to have other married friends as a help and an influence in your marriage. We also talked about rekindling old relationships. You know, when you get married, all of a sudden, somebody who you didn't want before, now all of a sudden they want you, they're interested in you, they want to spend time with you, they want to get to know you, you know, they want to get close to you and things like that. And these are things that create issues. Then we talked about those affairs and those one-night stands, and this is a very good scenario. Because I have believed this all the days I've been alive, that all affairs start with a conversation. Let me say it again. All affairs start with a conversation. And so this is what happened. This serpent began a conversation with a married woman. Again, you must be careful because there are serpents, there are snakes that are trying, if you will, to get information from you. Why are they trying to get information from you? Because they're trying to engage your interest so that they can embrace your heart and your desires so that you will end up doing something you should not do. And that's how a lot of affairs begin to happen. Why? Because now you're paying attention to something that's paying attention to you. Oh, and that becomes a very dangerous thing. And what it does is it causes, again, outside influences to impair your ability to function in your marriage. And here you are, you're wondering why your spouse is not as attractive, why your spouse is not as interesting, your spouse is not as funny, your spouse is not as, if you will, as inviting as you would like him or her to be, because you're having conversations with someone on the outside that has nothing to do with what you've got going on the inside, and it creates problems, it creates issues, and it's these affairs that can often lead to one-night stands, and so you get caught up with this one individual over things that have been said, over things that you have seen, and all of a sudden now you're involved in what you don't want to be involved in, and you wake up in the morning saying, what have I done? Now you need to find out how to conquer your failure in your marriage, because you want your marriage to work. You want your marriage to be operational, but it can only be operational when there's an occupation and an obligation. What do I mean? Your marriage will only function if you're doing your part to function in the marriage and for the marriage. In other words, you've got to have a place to house your marriage. Your marriage cannot be on the street, so you need a place to house your marriage. And when you house your marriage, there are things in the house that you must do for your marriage. Getting your marriage in the house is one thing, but now what you do while you're in that house is another thing. And so these are things that we need to focus on so that we can handle the marriage. The marriage becomes operational, and we don't have to worry about outside influences, which we talked about. I want to pause right there to see if Brother Gabriel wants to add anything or point out anything based upon what we just got through talking about. Come on there, Brother Gabriel.
Yes, I do. Matter of fact, it seems people think that marriage is just another thing taking place. But marriage is a major life paradigm shift. There are many things that you did before marriage that you cannot continue to do after marriage if you want to have a successful marriage. Is you have just, you don't turn your back on your friends, you don't call them your enemies, or you don't desert them, but you must cut back seriously on the amount of time that you spent with your friends in the bars, in sports, in fishing, other activities that you did prior to marriage. Is your concentration and the majority of your time, your quality time, should be in the home, establishing a good, solid foundation with your wife and with your children? Is that where your time and your energy, and when we talk about spending, a person does not realize how much money he or she spends just by going out with their friends. And many times that money could have a more productive use if spent inside the home. So yes, once you get married, you must make some major decisions to make major shifts in your life.
Amen.
And I hesitate to call one more thing. I hesitate to call those sacrifices, because when you say sacrifice, it means you're giving up something. I think when you stop doing this and start doing that, in marriage, an advantage. It is not an asset, a liability. It becomes an asset to your life, not a sacrifice.
Amen. Amen. Dr. Kimmy, anything you want to say or add?
I agree with what was just said. I really believe when you do become married, you can't no longer do the same things. I still believe that you can still have your me time, but you must both have mutual understandings of what me time means. And, yeah, I really believe that the two becomes one, and it's a beautiful union when there is open communication and proactive respect on both parties. Absolutely.
You said a very important word, that's practicing respect. I'd like to use that word respect as a form of a property line when you get married. I believe, and I think that Lady Gabriel had said something to that effect a couple of weeks ago about having some kind of, if you will, some in so many words, a property line, you know, as to what can and what cannot take place now that you're married, to avoid creating the wrong type of relationships or rekindling old relationships, and to avoid that which could cause an affair or even a one-night stand. You know, there's a certain type of, if you will, restriction, a certain type of boundary, a certain type of a line or limitation that has to be established so that we make good, so that our marriage does not fail. You know, I'm discovering that people get married today, and by the end of the month, they don't want nothing more to do with the marriage. The reason is because they didn't establish any guidelines, any boundaries for what is and what should not be. I think that it's important to know how to define your marriage, and giving your marriage a definition by saying this is and this isn't. This is to be, this is not to be. This is what we're going to do, this is not what we're going to do. It's going to make a definite impact, so there is not outside influences. Oh, let me, by the way, when we talk about outside influences, please be mindful how important it is that if you are dealing with something in your marriage, how important it is to keep it between you, your mate, and God, and not you and your family member, you, your parents, you, and your neighbor, you, and your homies, you, and your homegirl. Because what I discovered is that you can make a comment, and because you made this comment, now you're causing other folk to dislike your spouse. And so now what's happening is every time they see you, what they want to do is remind you of something about your spouse when you and your spouse done made up and y'all gone on about your business. All this can become a problem. And this is what a lot of women have a problem with a lot of their husbands, because these husbands, they go to their mother, and then all of a sudden, this is why they are now called a mama's boy, because now you feel like you need your mama's permission to fix this and to make this right and to do what you're going to do. It is dangerous. It is dangerous. Let me say it again. It is dangerous to allow outside influences. Listen now. And so I need you to look at the differences of outside influences. If you're developing a new relationship, if you're rekindling an old relationship, so now let's add in if we're involving family, friends, and whoever else, or that which promotes, or if you will, that which fosters an affair or a one-night stand. All of these things, if we do not set it in order, if we do not put it in perspective, if we do not set our boundaries, then we will have people who will violate our marriage. And guess what? If people can violate our marriage, then people who are married will violate their vows. Oh, think about it. If people can violate your marriage, then you will violate your vows. Why? Because you're listening to all this outside interference, this outside influence, and now you're like, oh, but I really want this, but I really want this to work. How do you want it to work when you're putting people in it who only know how to help bring it down? You don't want nobody to help bring your marriage down. If anything, you want some role models to help build your marriage up. That is another thing. We do not find a lot of marriages that serve as role models for coming up couples who are now married, and they need somebody to look up to. Because let's be truthful, there's a number of married couples who had children and things didn't work out. And so what happened is the children saw that they got divorced. The children saw that mama slept in one room, daddy slept in another room. They saw this, they saw that. And so now they think it's normal. And so what happens is they're allowing this thing called outside interference. So here's what happens. This serpent, as clever as he was, entered into this woman's life, engaged her attention, having conversation with her. And what happens, it became an outside influence. And it changed everything in her life, everything in her marriage. Because prior to this, they were okay when it was them and God. But something happens when you put God to the side and you allow another party to come in. Oh, boy, because if you have God in the center, you're safe. If you don't have God in the center, you're sabotaging your marriage. Okay, let me go a little further. So the woman is having conversation with the serpent. And so she goes from outside influences to internal disconnect. Listen to me. She goes from outside influences to internal disconnect. Why do I say that? Because, first of all, the first thing is she now feels that she does not have what it takes to stand on her own and be the wife that she needs to be. Or he now does not feel that he has what it takes to be the husband that he needs to be. That's what happens when you allow inside interference. It causes an internal disconnect where now you are questioning yourself if you have what it takes to have a successful marriage. Anybody want to comment on that part right there? Internal disconnect, feeling like you don't have what it takes to make it in your marriage. Anybody want to talk to me on that?
Yes, this is Brother Otis Gabriel. I look at the internal disconnect is that she is disconnecting from something that her spouse has told her. He told her that God said, don't do this. And then this external factor comes up and says, no, that is not right. And he's going to give her some information that is contrary to what her husband told her, and she is more influenced by what this outside person's saying than what her husband has told her, and then that causes problems that plague them for the rest of life. And I feel that a should not at any time allow anyone to engage them in a conversation where their spouse is being degraded. It is not a joke, even if they try to say it jokingly. It's not a joke. It's not funny to them. And it's just a test to see how much they can say about your spouse before they add something that's worse in the next conversation. I give a good example of that. This lady talking about her husband, he was a hardworking young man, and the job he had was a labor-type job. And so her friends were joking, said, "Wow, if he works that hard every day, I bet you don't have any fun at night at all." And so that was a test. Yeah, you were right. After that, every time they saw him, they would talk about how tired he was. I mean, and that wasn't a joke. That was a test. But in no time should we allow anyone and engage in a conversation where they're making uncomplimentary remarks about your spouse.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Amen. Anything else? Anything else?
Yes. I wanted to make a comment about old friends that come into your life. Just maybe you meet them casually or just happen to be a reunion or something like that. And a lot of times they come from relationships that aren't together, and they may be single now, but they find out that you're married, and they know that you're going to have limitations, but they're kind of wide open as far as inviting you to do things like call you sometimes, or sometimes we'll go out just for an innocent drink. And that communication leads to a lot of extra stimulation in the relationship. So that's something that you want to be very, very careful about, because sometimes we find ourselves ventilating and people are listening for other information besides, you know, taking your side. They're just listening to see where they may find a weakness in your relationship, and then they will try to fill that void, and now you have a side relationship along with your marriage.
I want to show you something. I want to show you something, okay? When we look at the scripture, right, the serpent asks the woman, "Do you understand that God told you not to eat from any tree of the garden?" She responds to him by saying, "Not at all. We can eat from the trees in the garden. It's only about the tree in the middle of the garden that God said, don't eat from it, and don't even touch it or you'll die." Watch this. The serpent told the woman, "You won't die." Watch this. The serpent tells the woman, "You won't die." It gives this woman a sense of untrustworthiness. Because I am certain that this woman has had conversations with her husband. And her husband has given it to her the way God said it. I believe this now. I believe this. I believe that the husband said, "This is what God requires of us. This is what God wants from us. And this is what God is telling us to do and what God is telling us not to do." So now here comes this voice that changes everything that husband said. And so now this woman, this is my commentary, please hear me, this is my commentary, this woman is now, my husband has told me something that is apparently not true, because this serpent has told me something different. It is a terrible thing when what your spouse tells you does not stand the test of time because of what some evil intent is of the voice of another. Oh, and so it causes a sense of being untrustworthy, meaning that she now thinks, "I cannot trust what my husband said because I've heard something different." Oh, how many times do marriages get messed up because we don't receive what our mate has said? And so therefore, now we're sitting here thinking that our mate is not giving us the best information possible, but they're withholding something from us, or they're not showing us all of the aspects and everything. Yeah, and so here she is. She now finds him to be, if you will, untrustworthy. Why didn't she go back to her husband and say, "Well, is there any truth to what the serpent is saying?" Why didn't she do that? Why? Because there was a sense of untrustworthiness.
To add to that, they specifically said that the serpent was cunning. So I don't think this is a one-time conversation that they had. I think that, you know, that was not, everything didn't happen that same day. I think he kind of got her confidence you know, before he invited her to eat the fruit and offer it to her husband. Because it did specifically say that he was cunning, so he had a plan. So I don't think everything took place on one visit to that serpent.
One conversation.
Yeah, one conversation.
Hold on. I have to correct. It did. Everything happened. Watch this. Watch this. It happened in the same day. I'm gonna show you why. Okay.
All right.
We have to look at from God's standpoint. Okay. And the Bible tells us that one day with the Lord is as a thousand years, and a thousand years is one day in the sight of the Lord. So all of this happened in the same day. Uh-oh. Stay with me. All of this happened in the same day. There is not one person who lived to a full day. There was that one who lived, I believe it was Methuselah, who lived to be 969 years old, but he died the same day because he did not live above 1,000 years. So therefore, what took place happened in the same day. That's why we all live and die in a day. And so the scripture says that the day you eat of this, you shall surely die. So they were born this day. They grew up in this day. They heard this stuff in this day. They did the wrong in this day, and they died in this day. Uh-oh. Uh-oh.
Yeah, I'm not on that one.
That's Bible. That's Bible. So they lived and died in the day. So all of this happened in the same day. It don't make a difference if it was the early day or the mid part of the day or the late part of the day. It happened in the same day. They were born that day, were created that day, and they died that day because of the influence that came that created this internal disconnect. Oh, Lord, come on now. This is Bible. I'm not giving you something that ain't Bible. This is Bible. Oh, you don't got quiet on me. Don't do that.
Well, how long were they in the Garden of Eden?
How long were they in there?
Yeah.
They were in there just for a few moments. They were in the garden for just a few moments. It didn't change the fact that it was still all in the same day.
I think that our time would be better utilized to just move on to another topic on this one day situation.
Oh man. But it happens in the same day. And so there's this untrustworthiness now. So now she doesn't trust what her husband had conversated to her or conveyed to her that came from the Lord. And so the Bible tells us that the woman had been deceived, but it was the man that was disobedient. So here's the internal disconnect. First, there is an untrustworthiness. And because of this untrustworthiness, I believe it's because there was a lack of intimacy. She did more talking to the serpent than she did to her own husband who was right there. And how many people, they do this in their marriage. They will talk to other voices and they will talk to other people, but they will not talk to their own spouse. Oh, boy. And then so what happens is people try to make communication the most important thing in their relationship. Well, that's a part of importance, but the first thing should have been her commitment to him because they made that vow. Oh. Talk to me, Brother Gabriel. I know you got something to say.
Oh, yes. The commitment. Now, that, I'm glad you mentioned that. That commitment is going to cover quite a few echelons in the marriage. Is the commitment is that you are committed to them, and that doesn't mean that you are attached to me. It says that I believe in you, I'm going to take care of you. I believe you are going to take care of me. And the two of us are going to work together. We're going to believe one another. We're going to trust one another. And we are going to commit our time, our energy, our love, our affection to one another, and do that to build a wonderful and affectionate and intimate life and a higher quality of life for all, for the two of us and our family. Now, being committed is will be something that she was not committed intellectually to her husband. She felt that the serpent knew more than her husband. In just one conversation, that same day, no, I'm not going to do that. Now, that she trusted the conversation with the serpent over what she had placed it at a higher point than what she had given to her husband on talking about the same subject. And you should always support your husband. Even sometimes you may not think he's completely right or think that she's completely all right, but just support her and let's just make it the best that we can without any outside influences.
Okay. I can deal with that. There was something you talked about in commitment. You talked about attachment. I discovered, though, that attachment is not involvement. There are people who get married, they are attached, but they're never involved. And so these are things that will create that untrustworthiness, but it also shows a lack of intimacy. Because I found out if you're not doing things together, then you're not coming closer together. You've talked on many occasions on how you and your wife have developed what you've developed because y'all spent the majority of your time together, yet you've learned also when to give each other space. But you spend the majority of your time together, which says that y'all are able to trust each other because y'all have that intimacy to build it. But there
Amen.
Are a lot of couples who don't, because why? They're just attached, but they're not involved. Then you have those who are involved, but they're not attached. So this, again, creates an internal disconnect. What? Who? How can I really be close to my spouse if I'm not really connected, if I'm not really involved, if we're not bonding, we're just there? There are so many people, they are just there. They got married and they're happy, but they're not there. They're not connecting. They're not bonding. They don't eat together. They don't talk together. And when they do sleep, they got their back turned to each other. When they get up in the morning, they can't stand to see each other. They are there, but they are not there. There is nothing that's bringing them together. And so they feel, that's why many people say they're married, but they're still lonely. Ooh, they're married, but they feel they're lonely. They feel like nothing is really coming together with them, so they just exist. Does that make any sense? Talk to me.
All right. I would like to wait for you to sound on that. Yeah. When you get married, this is opinion, not facts, because it's just mine. That when you got married,
okay. We're
really excited about one another. We were hugging and kissing all the time. I remember one time we were just walking up the flight of steps, and I just paused and kissed my girlfriend at the time, and she said, "Why do you kiss me so much?" And I said, "Well, if you were standing where I'm standing and had the kind of feeling, you would saying what I'm seeing, and I just can't help it. However, if you would like for me to stop, just let me know." And my wife said, "No, I don't want you to stop. I don't want you to start something now that you are going to stop later on." So I heard that, and I feel that that disconnect you were speaking of that some couples have, that comes often, and I like that word you used about bonding, that comes often from lack of tactile communication. And tactile communication is touching. If a couple touches, to me, if a couple touches more, if you pass your wife, she's sitting in the kitchen, and you go to get some salt and pepper out of the cabinet, just rub your hand across her back. If you just sit down with her watching TV, watching the Olympics, just reach over and place your hand on her leg. Put your hand on her arm and just make contact. That bonding, bonding and touching. If you would touch a person more, then that bonding would come at a more rapid pace than just words and sitting and looking at one another. So I would add in that I think, well, for me, the affection, the physical affection is a very important part. We had a questionnaire one time that we passed out at a couple seminar about how many times a day do you kiss your husband on the lips or your spouse on the lips? How many times do you have a 5 to 10 second double arm wrap, full body press, embrace? And you will be surprised. But the answer that people gave was amazing at how little full contact, what's called intentional contact, our couples would have together. Not just accidentally brushing against them. If you see her walking down towards you, get in front of you, stretch out your arm and double arm wrap her. Hug her for 5 to 10 seconds. That stops for some reason with couples after they get married, but that's the only person she has supposed to have to hug her. And women, most women like to be hugged, like affection. So if the husband doesn't give it to her, who's going to? You would get upset if you found out that your friend was hugging your wife. Well, why don't you hug her? So the affection is a very important part and ingredient for bonding effectively with your spouse.
That's good. I remember a story that I was once told. This was over 25, maybe close to 30 years ago. I was living in Fayetteville, North Carolina, and the pastor's son at the time told me a story about this young couple who had gotten married, right, and said that when the man would come in from work, he often had to, you know, cater to himself. Said that he had a daughter, right, and the daughter must have been about 4 or 5 years old. Said, and every day when he came in from work, after a number of years, when the daughter started getting to about maybe 4, 5, 6 years old, said when he got in, she would run to him and jump in his arms and kiss him and say, welcome home. Then she would take him to his favorite chair, take off his shoes, right, put on his flip-flops. Then when he would go outside and work on the car, she would bring him lemonade with some ice because she knew it was hot outside. This is a little girl doing this, and she was doing it, and so it got to the point where that man looked for his daughter to be there when he got home. Finally, his wife caught on, right, and she started doing is she started beating the daughter to get to her husband, and she noticed that it changed everything in their relationship. What I'm saying is that little time of hugging and embracing, giving that little kiss, those are moments, if you will, of bonding. And what happens is it develops a greater interest, but not only does it develop a greater interest, it develops a greater trust. It develops a greater love, a greater flow of things so that you don't feel so disconnected in your marriage. So I'm saying that what you're talking about, taking that moment of embrace, always told me that what you do before you get married, you're going to have to do after you get married to maintain things. Isn't it amazing that before people get married, they can't wait to be in the bed with each other? They can't wait to touch each other, kiss each other, get along with each other. But the moment they get married, it seems that that fade away. Before they get married, you can't, they throwing it at each other like there's no tomorrow. And but after they get married, it's like you got to buy it from each other or rent it from each other or something. You know, so many things happen that causes this disconnect. Little things like that can change everything. Dr. Kimmy, you want to say anything on this? You've been quiet for a minute. Come on.
Yeah, no,
this is really good. It's just been real so good. And basically, I concur. I really believe that to make marriage meaningful, it must be a dual plan. I really believe that when people come together and they decide how they're going to incorporate the rules and have fun with their union, but it also includes respect, making sure that you both are satisfying, because there are times you're going to need your me time. And then also, I really believe that when we talk about how the snake really tricked Eve with that, but we also have to remember that he left the house and he left Eve uncovered. So at that time, it was a good idea to trick her. And so that is what happens sometimes in marriages. Sometimes we may play the blame game. And God has shown us that even when someone makes a mistake in marriage, like the wife or the husband, we don't blame each other. We try to come together and compromise. And so that was a conflict right there. So God is just showcasing us that, you know, there are times that you're going to have your ups and your downs in your marriages. But at the end of the day, if you keep the core, which is God first, he will never leave you nor forsaken you. Amen.
Amen.
You said something when you talked about doing the blame game, because the other thing I was going to deal with in internal disconnect is fault finding. Because what I have discovered is after outside influences, we discover this internal disconnect, what we do is we start finding fault with our mate. And let me say this. If you look long enough for something to be wrong, you're going to find something wrong. Why? Because no individual is perfect. Not one of us is perfect. Somebody is not going to do this part one day. Somebody's going to mess up on that part another day. There are certain things we call mistakes in life, and we are built to make mistakes. Let me say that again. We are built to make mistakes. If we were meant to be mistakeless, then God would not have made us physical, natural beings. He would have made us perfect, angelic beings, but that's not how he made us. So we are people, because we're in this flesh, we are people totally capable of making mistakes. So in that we're capable of making mistakes, you know, we don't cross every T and dot every I. And so what we do is we look for fault, okay? What is the fault we look for? Well, sometimes our fault is pick up after ourselves, or did we put down the toilet seat, or did we turn off the light, did we lock the door, you know, or, you know, little things that we make into big things. Bishop-elect always say that we have too many people who major in minor things. The Bible says it is the little foxes that spoil the vine. It is picking at the very small things that creates a big issue. Oh, listen, my brothers and sisters, listen to me. Fault finding is probably one of the most devastating things that can be presented in a in marriage, or for that matter, in any relationship. Oh, she didn't cook this long enough. Oh, he didn't make that hot enough. This wasn't ironed right. That wasn't cleaned properly. Oh, this fell over. Oh, this is that. That is this. Oh, finding does more damage than you cussing one another out. Oh, somebody talk to me right there about fault finding.
This is Brother Gabe. I think that fault finding, that is sometimes for some unknown reason, and I think the conversation we had earlier about the serpent at work, that's a serpent in our mind that comes too often. It's a small thing that we look at. It is just saying that, why doesn't she do that the way that I do? And keep in mind, when we begin to look at something or a process or procedure that our spouse is performing and we don't do it that way, we look at it as wrong. It's not wrong. Mm-hmm. It is just different. And by being different, it means that it's the way that I do it is correct, and the way that she's doing it is wrong. And we have spent, just like you said, major time on minor issues. But once you bring up a minor issue, it becomes a major disruption in the thought process that is taking place in your spouse about how she feels about you. Once you begin to criticize someone, then that person does not feel like being affectionate with you. It's wondering, saying, why is he criticizing me about this issue? And there's one other thing in that area. There is something that we must be aware of. It is called intent versus impact. You say, I just said that I didn't intend to hurt your feelings, but the impact is you have caused me anxiety that I'm going to think about for the next 2 weeks. So the intent was innocent, but the impact was devastating. So let's be aware of what we say before we say it to our spouses if we want peace and tranquility.
Okay, so I want to dig into that. Intent versus impact. So you say the intent was not to do this, but it left an impact. Okay, so you're talking about maybe saying something or doing something. All right. So your intent is the motive behind what you do. Is that what you're saying?
You know, the best example of that is a person saying something they feel is going to help you. There's many examples and I can give you one. We use in the examples is I'm walking, heading to the other room. And your foot, my wife's foot is in the way, I step on it. I didn't intend to do that, but the impact is she has a broken toe. Now, that is by accident. Sometimes the intent is purposeful. We say things, I'm just going to tell you this to help you out. So you wear some of the ugliest shoes that I have ever seen. Why don't you try to get some shoes that match your dress? I'm just trying to help her.
Mm-hmm.
But how do you think that resonates in her mind? It's complaining about her, and not just complaining, but criticizing. So the purpose, my intent was to help, but the impact was devastating.
Okay. So this is something then that happens because we have good intentions, but the intentions that we have come out wrong, and so it leaves an impact that is, if you like you said, devastating, or if you will, in some case, painful. And so we want to be mindful of things like that, because people can take that impact and use it as injurious. You did this, and they'll lean on that, and that sticks in their system more than the true intent.
Amen.
And I've seen that. Just like you can express a particular point, and what your point was is to be for good, but all they heard was something that was negative, and so now that's all they think about was that thing that came out sounding negative. So again, these are things that are causing people to find fault. And because of that, it's causing a lack of intimacy, and of course, it is now causing this untrustworthiness, and therefore we have this internal disconnect. And what we want to do is we want to fix things in marriage, but nobody really wants to talk about that. A lot of things can be fixed. Let me say this again. A lot of things in marriage can be fixed, but a lot of people choose not to fix it. Oh, do I make any sense?
Okay, let me
because,
comment on that.
Because
about being, there's some things that we may think is not salvageable. Some incident is not salvageable. But like you said, most of the situations in our marriage are salvageable. We just have to both work toward fixing it. And then with the intent and the impact, you know that you haven't been very productive in your conversation and communication when the intent is not congruent with the impact. If you meant for it to be helpful, then the conversation and the results on the other end with the other party, he should feel helped. But if it's incongruent, then you have a problem.
Okay. One of the things that people do is they will keep bringing an incident up over and over again as if they refuse to let it go. And I found out that people use this, if you will, to try to gain control in a marriage. And a marriage is not meant to be controlled. A marriage is meant to be governed by the principles of God and what he intended. Would you agree with that?
The controlling a person does not make them feel comfortable. Because now the person that we're trying to control, tell them what to say, what not to say, what to do, what not to do, they become very uncomfortable because they feel that anything that they say or do is going to be criticized. And so we should allow a person to be themselves in the relationship. Another thing I often talk about is we can do that by just understanding and accepting the fact that every person, even though it's your spouse and your children, that every person has a personality, have likes, dislikes, preferences that are different from mine. And just because they express different opinions about the same topic does not mean they're wrong. It is just different. And then that would lead to more harmony instead of trying to argue my opinion all the time. It's just expect that and respect it. And then it will cut down on the amount of discontent verbally in the home.
Okay. Well, these things, again, they can become real issues. I was sharing with someone recently, an incident can happen one time, but many times people replay it and they relive it because they continue to revive it. And what people have to learn how to do is not replay, but preplay something better. I believe there's a song that I've heard that says, it won't always be like this. That has to become the anthem for many people who are dealing with difficulties in their marriage. You've got to get to, listen, your vow says, for better, for worse, in sickness and health, for richer, for poor, so long as you both shall live. Well, which means that there has to be some effort in the times that it gets worse. There has to be some effort when there's a poorer. There has to be some effort when there is sickness. There has to be some effort if you want to see things be better. But if you're not willing to put forth the effort because you sense an internal disconnect, then that's going to always be the issue. Here's another thing. When we talk about internal disconnect, and I go this way because here's what happens. The serpent tells this woman, you won't die. God knows that the moment you eat from that tree, you'll see what's really going on. You'll be just like God, knowing everything, ranging all the way from good to evil. First of all, you are made in God's image after his likeness, okay? And he gave you all the faculties you need to be like him. So you didn't need someone to come and tell you that you'll do what you'll be just like God, doing what God does and knowing what God knows. God already gave you what you needed so that you could operate in the capacity that he operates in. So what happens is now your mind has been altered and you're now being challenged to try to measure up to something you don't have to measure up to. When God made you in his image after his likeness, he made you to be the way he is so that you can operate like him, you can function like him, you can do what he do in the capacity of your manhood or your womanhood. But now you got this devil telling you, well, you really don't know what you can do or can't do. And so here's this internal disconnect where, okay, I'm short of what God wants me to be and what God created me to be. Let me tell you something. God didn't fall short when he made you. He didn't mess up. He didn't make a mistake, right? He didn't miss anything when he made you. He put every faculty in you that is necessary to make you more like him. It is just now the enemy wants you to believe that God has shortchanged you. Please let me say this to you. I don't care what your skin tone is. I don't care what your hair color, your eye color is, how long or short your hair is. I don't care about what your build looks like. God gave you everything that he needed you to be so that you could function the way you need to function. And for you to go and change it, to alter it, to become better, what you're doing is you're telling God you're not satisfied with what he made when he made you. And so now, not only are you finding fault with your mate, but you're finding fault with yourself. Let me be true, and I'm going to be candid here, okay? Listen, God made everybody to be different in their own way, but made them to work just the same. I want you to understand that whether you are 4 feet or you are 6 feet, you are still a complete individual. Whether you have big bosom or small bosom, I'm telling you, you still have what is necessary. Whether you have, Lord, I want to say it just the way I want to say it. Whether you have been penetrated before marriage or you waited until after marriage, you still have what is necessary to do it. Whether you are long or whether you are short, whether you are thick or you are thin, I don't care if you don't like it, somebody still got to tell it. You still have what is necessary to get the job done. But anytime you go and alter what God has already did and what he's already made in you, what you're doing, you're saying, God, you didn't do a good enough job on me. And so here you're feeling this way that your mate doesn't want you, that you're not good enough because you are not the description of your mate. Wait a minute. Because you want to be tall, dark, and handsome. But then you think to yourself, you're not tall, you're not dark, and you're not even handsome. Yeah, but the fact is that you function the way God wants you to function, and that should be more important than an opinion. Good God Almighty, an opinion should never be greater than your function. Let me say it again. An opinion, Lord, somebody need to grab this. An opinion should never be greater than your function. God made you to function, not be somebody's opinion. Ooh, I just felt a preach moment there. Please forgive me. But somebody needs to hear that, okay? Somebody needs to hear that. So people are married and they have issues. Why? Because they're working with an opinion rather than their ability to function. Oh, my goodness. Let me tell you something. If he walks by and he turns you on, and she walks by and she makes you happy, then you're functioning. Okay. I done got some trouble right there. I done got in some trouble. I'm trying to help somebody to make their marriage more meaningful. Learn this. Glory to God. It is your function that it makes you worth being married to, not, hallelujah, an opinion. Ooh. So here we have this. I just want to hang out right there. I just want to hang out right there. That opinion versus that function. That opinion versus that function. Oh, well, she don't have the right build. Well, he don't have the right chest. He ain't tall enough. Well, she ain't light enough. You know, these are opinions. That's what got people messed up now. Because what you're doing is you're looking more for an opinion than the ability to function. God didn't create you to be an opinion. He created you to function. When God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness, he said, let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, the fowl of the air, the beast of the field, everything that creeps upon the land, the earth itself. That's what God said. God didn't say, oh, let them be an opinion. Ooh, and I couldn't even get a hand clap right there. God didn't say nothing about let them be an opinion. So why are you sitting there trying to be an opinion when God made you to function? Ooh, we have this internal disconnect because we got people trying to live up to people's opinions, living up to people's expectations, but they're not functioning the way they were made to function. When God breathed into man's nostrils the breath of life, God breathed the ability to function. Where is your function ability? Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. Where's your functionability? That's what's lacking. That's why a lot of people, they're tired and they can't function. They can't go nowhere because they're trying to support an opinion and they're not trying to function. And hence, there are people who are attached, but they're not involved. People who they have an intent is leaving a different impact. Therefore, there's no trustworthiness. They're lacking intimacy. They're finding fault because they have been reduced to an opinion instead of a functionability. That's something I want you all to think about tonight. Let's get some closing thoughts here tonight on this conversation. We could pick up with this with the help of the Lord next week and try to go a little further in this. All right, let me hear from you, Dr. Kimmy. Let me hear your closing remarks, and then I'll hear from you, Lady Gabriel, and then you, Brother Gabriel. Amen.
Well, I just want to say that this discussion on tonight was definitely well needed, and it's good to know that we can have an open discussion on, you know, how to make marriage meaningful, because I really believe that a lot of assumptions and opinions, they end up causing a couple to really separate or divorce because of what people say and not the truth. And so with that being said, I really enjoyed this conversation from you and the brothers and my sister, the Gabins. And it was definitely a great discussion in the Lord, and I can't wait until next week. And wow, it was definitely a great discussion, because I really believe when people can truly be themselves and just talk to each other and not just assume and not, you know, not allow outside interference to cause a issue, then you can have a marriage that's more meaningful. Because I love the couple that's on the call. They're always amazing. I mean, they love each other. You can just hear them in their voices. And so, yeah, I really love this topic on tonight.
Amen. Sister Gabriel?
Yes, I enjoyed the discussion tonight. I learned an awful lot. But the one point that I would like to leave with the group tonight is to accept forgiveness. Accept forgiveness to be the eraser of the consequences for all of the poor choices that we make. So forgiveness is a real powerful tool, and a lot of times if you accept forgiveness and not hold grudges, and when you do have something that you need to discuss, just discuss what's at hand. Don't bring up things that happened last week, last month. So that's my closing remark for tonight.
Amen. Thank you so much. Come on, Brother Gabriel.
Okay. I thoroughly enjoyed the input from the people on the line this evening. And I think that what I would like to recommend, based on what we stated, that we should find out exactly what our spouse desires. And then we should work hard to fulfill that in every day. We know over a period of time, there are certain that our spouse does not care for, don't do, and don't say those things. One thing that I do, I make a conscious decision. If I'm going to say something that is going to be a little bit controversial in my mind as to how my wife is going to respond to it, I will say, is this statement going to make her happy or make her sad? Make her smile, or make her cry, or make her glad. I go through the whole array of emotions that it may cause. And if it's not going to make her happy and make her smile, I just bypass it. It's not really that important. So that's the main thing. I just focus on what your spouse likes. And you talk about that performance, do that. Just do it. And that is my statement and takeaway from tonight's session.
Amen. Thank you so much. Listen, I just want to say this, and I want to make this really clear, that God didn't make you to be an opinion. He made you to function. And in your marriage, if you want to keep it from failing, then be more about functionability more than being opinionated. And you'll get somewhere really good in your marriage. I'd like to also submit this to you. Don't talk good and walk bad. That's not a good combination. So let me say it this way. Your marriage will not be meaningful as long as your mate is meaningless. This is the Apostle signing off for tonight, saying thank you for joining. Please join us next Saturday at 10 p.m. Eastern, 9 Central, as we shall have more from this Making Marriage Meaningful. And I say to you, if you're married and you get tapped on the shoulder, two words, roll over. And if you're single and you feel like you wish somebody was there to tap you on the shoulder, then I have two words for you, cold shower. It will help you along the way. All right, y'all have an amazing night tonight. All right, and again, we're praying blessings upon you. So I say, go with God, and he will go with you. Come on, Dr. Kimmy, I need you to do me a favor and drop that track, all right? Peace. Shalom. Good night.
You wonder if you made the right choice.
Made the right choice.
You You wonder if you're on the right course. Did you hear his voice? Did you hear in that still voice? Trust the process. That's all it is. Just the process. Just know that you are created for purpose. You are created for a reason. To be the healing balm for someone else. Just know
you are
the healing balm for someone else. And in this life, friends will come and friends will go. And you wonder why this pain day in and day out. Why does it seem to stay? Put these issues and trials go away. But then he'll speak to you. And that's his one voice. Trust the process. That's all it is just the process. Not just for a house and not just for a car. But it's for you to be an encouragement for somebody else. Remember that time you was going through, somebody encouraged you. So now it's your time to be a healing balm for someone else. So you wonder why friends walked away. And you wonder why these trials seem to stay. And where these issues and these burdens that I carry day in and day out. And you hear. There's a reason for it all. Just trust it.
Trust the process.
I've been placed inside of you.
You are the healer.
The healer. The ability.
Someone else.
An encouragement to someone else. Just know that you are.
You are the healing hope.
Yeah.
Someone else.
My own testimony is, there was a time in my life where I was homeless. There was a time that I didn't know which way to go. I wanted to give up and throw in the towel. But then I remember my mother saying, Scott, put a song in your soul. Put a song in your spirit. Let the going make it rough and the going make it tough. The heels, they're hard to climb. So I taught my choir.
The going make it rough.